The Poorly Made Police podcast is for entertainment purposes only. This podcast has explicit content and is meant for a mature audience. The views expressed on this poorly made podcast reflect the opinions of the guest and host. They do not reflect the opinion of any department or entity. Nothing on this poorly made podcast should be construed as legal or marital advice. If something offends you, I kindly invite you to lighten the fuck up. If you want to support this very poorly made podcast, click the link at the end of the description and become a monthly sponsor of the podcast. Or buy yourself some nice poorly made police memes merch. Not only does it look good on you, it's also a favorite of wives, exes, children, nurses, nuns, IA investigators, defense attorneys, and the chief. And of course, take care of the fine sponsors of this podcast. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy the orgasmic sound of a Crown Vic. Oh, hey there. Welcome to another edition of the Very Poorly Made Police Podcast. I am your host, Lenny. How the fuck are you guys? I hope you are doing just swell. This episode, we go to an undisclosed location on the left coast and talk to a younger cop. Good kid. He is a bike cop, so obviously we talk about that and talk about his experiences, why he got into policing, all the normal stuff, some philosophical conversations in there, some laughs. I think you guys will enjoy it. But before we get into the podcast, a new low. Before we get into the podcast, big, huge, awesome thanks to our good friends over at officerprivacy.com. They bring you each and every one of your Sunday podcasts. It's going to be election season soon. You know what that's going to mean? Somehow the police is going to be the police's fault. So last election season, we had all kinds of nice, wonderful things happen to police officers all throughout this country. They were doxxed, their information was found out, you're involved in a critical incident, and the next thing you know, there's people protesting at your door. It's a real problem. That is why I signed up for officerprivacy.com. Back when I was on the job, I was really worried about that. I was worried about being involved in one of these controversial incidents. And then the next thing you know, people are just looking up your address. It's very easy for people to look up your information. Google your name, the city you live in, and be disgusted about the lack of privacy you truly have. That's why I am such a big believer in officer privacy. They scrub you from these people search sites, and then you got nothing to worry about. I cannot recommend them enough. Go check them out, officerprivacy.com. Let's play a little Seth Mills, and we'll get right into the podcast.
Rolling fast, burning up this road. I can hear those 33s humming down below. Remember back, roll the radio down for me. When we were Jack and Diane in this modern world, my hands between your knees. Hey girl, I wake up late at night, 'cause I'm still missing you. Hey girl, we used to sing our favorite songs. Yeah, we'd hike on down to the riverbank.
Oh, hey there. Welcome to another edition of Very Poorly Made Police Podcast. And this is the kind of day it's been already.
I can't do it. Okay. We'll do it live.
Okay.
Well, no. We'll do it live. Fuck it. Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live! Right. Fucking thing sucks!
Yeah. Thanks, Bill O'Reilly. Now, joining the podcast all the way from we didn't even fucking talk about if we're going to say where you're from. From an undisclosed location in a state on the West Coast, I have cat shit, aka diarrhea. How are you, bud?
So far, so good. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm just living a dream. Now, the name of the podcast is probably going to be Cat Shit, maybe Diarrhea. I don't know. We've had, not that anybody gives a fuck, but there's a little buildup to what's going on here. I had something coming up. What, you fucking canceled last week, right? Or was that me?
I did. Yeah, I had a last minute training thing I had to do.
So he canceled last week, and then we rescheduled for this week, and I ignorantly did not look at my calendar, and I had fucking something going on. So it's late, I'm old, I'm tired, and then I came down here, and there's fucking cat diarrhea like a fucking homeless man fucking sprayed shit all over the floor down in my recording studio, my fucking dungeon. So now my guest, his name is Diarrhea. Diarrhea, how are you?
I'm doing quite well.
I'm glad that you're not dealing with the problems of cat diarrhea. I'm doing great. Thanks for asking.
Of course.
I got some shit right off the bat that we're going to talk about. And then we'll fucking talk about you. Because you have a list, and I love lists. It's a short list, but it's a thick list. Like, it's thick. You know, it's not fluffy. It's thick with 3 C's worth of stuff. Good stuff we're going to talk about. But first, before all that, what are you having to drink tonight?
Good old classic Jack and Coke. It's not necessarily black because all I have on hand is Maker's Mark, but, you know, it'll do.
Okay, I'm going to tell a story that I don't know if I've ever told on the podcast. And no, I'm not going to tell a story. Never mind. Because everything's racist now, and it's not a racist story, but it might come off racist, so I'm not going to say it. Anyway, my brothers will know exactly what I'm talking about with Jack and Coke. I'm having a Busch Light. I want to tell you about this Busch Light, and I'm going to use this as the worst segue ever to a thing. As many of you guys know, I like to fish, right? And I was in the grocery store the other day, and they got Busch Latte fishing cans. And I was like, well, fuck, I don't need more beer, but I'm going to fucking buy them so I can drink beer with a fish on it. And here we are, because I'm a fucking douchebag for stuff like that. So the sweet nectar of Busch Light, I have the fish on the can, which is, for those playing at home, it's the white crappie. It's a very pretty can, which pretty is a gay word. Now, here's the worst segue ever. I saw a guy that I know in the area at the gas station before we started recording. And I was like, I bet this guy knows some spots to go fishing. I was like, hey, man. And here's the thing. I know, you know, you're maybe not in this part of the country, but like out in this part of the country, farm ponds are a real thing. Like there's some fucking sick farm ponds. And if you can make friends with farmers and fucking fish at them, it's fucking awesome. It's fucking great. Well, so I was asking him. And so we start talking about it. And he's like, you know, you got to have a fishing license. But you don't need a license to abort a baby.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Like, how the fuck did we get here? Look, we're not going to do like that podcast because I have my own views on Smith-Mortian. I'm not a huge fan of murdering babies either. But how did we get there? Why does that happen? I mean, you know, there's some people that are really good at that. Like you could be talking about something and then it will automatically turn into whatever the most controversial thing going on, or one of the most controversial things going on. I'm sure you've noticed that, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it feels like it's a fuck. What was that one game called where you would just try your best to get to Kevin Bacon in as little jumps as possible?
Mm-hmm.
It's like that, but with controversial topics like, oh man, this pond water looks like really great. Oh, well, did you know the water's turning the freaking frogs gay?
Turning frogs gay! The leap, man, we're having this nice conversation and all of a sudden Smith-Mortian. I'm like, fuck, man, where did this come from? I feel like the internet is really bad at that too. And that's like, I've tried to reform myself. I try to stay out of the comments, even my own sometimes, unless something, you know, I'm not perfect. Every once in a while something reels me in, pun intended. But I'll make some meme and then somebody will somehow turn it into some like anti-Biden or anti-Trump. And I'm like, yep, this is a fucking cop meme.
This has nothing to do with politics. It's just funny.
Nothing to do with either one of those dudes. Why? I hate it. And I think it's like the sign of the times. Like, and I get it. Like, I'm sure I've probably been guilty of that to an extent. I don't really know you, but it probably happened. I mean, I've managed to turn conversations into fishing, which is kind of the same thing, except not so spicy, I guess. But
yeah,
I think just people are so wrapped up in everything these days and with the internet and everything's in your face. People just think about that shit constantly.
Just like nothing else better to think about, right?
Nothing else. The most controversial shit ever. Anyway, I might know where New Farm Pond is now, but that I got that. So we'll
Worth
see how
it.
that pans out. Totally worth it. All right, enough about me and my incoherent ramblings, which was, a lot of people talk about the first episode being the worst. There was like episode 9 or 10 in the first season was called Incoherent Ramblings, and
Do
that
remember
one was fucking bad, I think. It was really fucking bad. I think I had like somebody cancel, and I was like, well, I better fucking just record something. That was a bad idea. Turns out that was worse than episode one. We need to make that one the worst one. Anyway, enough about you. Or wait, wrong. I said that wrong. Enough about me. Let's hear about you. Why diarrhea did you get into law enforcement?
So it's kind of a long story, but starting at eight, I think I was like 15 or something. My house got burglarized while me and my parents were away. Came home, found all of my shit ransacked through. They took everything that meant something to me as a kid, like Xboxes, fucking pillowcases.
Porn.
For some reason, they took like all of our family photos. Don't know why. We obviously called the cops. They came out, did their investigation and stuff. And over the course of like months, they tracked down the fuckers and were able to get me all my stuff back. And I was like, oh my God, I want to do a service, like community service related job or like country service related job. Like, this is the coolest fucking thing. Right. So I started going through high school more and I was like, oh, maybe the army isn't such a bad idea. Got a scholarship for several reasons, which I won't get into. That fell through. Go to college. I'm like, oh, you know what's a good idea? Criminal justice studies. I can do a lot with that degree. So in my third year of college, I'm like, oh, I remember that experience of getting burglarized when I was like 15. Let me look into what it takes to be a cop. You have to be at least, 20 and a half. You have to have high school education, all that. And through my reading, I was like, oh, from everything I'm gathering, this process takes like a year plus. And this was around like 2019, right? So I was like, well, if I apply right now, either I'll get hired by the end of my degree, or I'll at least have the experience of an interview and stuff in policing so that when I do get my degree, I can just roll right into it. Cut forward to like 4 months later, haven't even started my fourth year of college. I'm sitting in the lieutenant's interview and they're like, all right, congrats, you're hired. I'm sorry, what? So there I was, 20 and a half, getting ready to go off to the police academy. And the rest is history, went through the academy, did phase. Now here I am, 4 years later.
Okay. This kind of might go into some of the stuff on your list, but I was thinking about this topic today, which I think could kind of segue to what you're talking about, or kind of being you're new, right? Within the last 4 years, you probably got on the street right about COVID time, right? Out of FTO about that time.
I was just finishing up FTO at that time, yeah.
Okay, so you got like the smallest of taste before everything like really got crazy.
Pretty much.
I don't know if I've asked this directly or in such a way, and maybe I have and I don't remember. That is very possible. But okay, so 4 years on, you're obviously still a young dude, but you've been on for a minute. What is morale like? I mean, and the reason I ask this is because I have a much different worldview than I did, 3 years ago, especially being all out now and talking to people. But, for like a young guy, and I guess we can only ask you your opinion, I guess you can't speak for your whole department, but do people enjoy coming to work? Or like, I just imagine everybody just fucking hating being a cop right now.
So it kind of fluctuates and depends. The department I work for isn't exactly, the shining beacon of the area I work in, but it's also not the worst. You know what I mean? During COVID and a little bit after COVID, morale was in the shitter. And there was a long period of time where, even being as new as I was, and still am, it was kind of getting to me too. But I don't think the morale thing has so much to do with the department as much as it do has to do with like who you're working with, like who your supervisor is, just like any other job, you know? So it right now it seems like it's kind of back on the rise, but it depends.
So day by day, you know, and it's
Yeah.
I gotta be honest, like Carter, my reason for asking this is I feel like, at least me personally, I'm kind of a head case when it comes to it, right? Because I'm like, God, I want to go help people, and like I have this urge to like, you know, get in the car and fucking do all the great stuff you can as a cop. But then I'm like, that's fucking stupid with everything going on these days and the uncertainty in the world, and you know, the fact that, you know, within 30 years, I'll probably be fucking buried in the ground. That's fucking stupid. I want to go do other stuff. And so I was thinking about like, okay, well, I mean, it's a good, like, noble thing. Like, and it's really the back and forth that I've argued with myself, you know, for the last 2.5 years now. But it just, I don't know. It's interesting to me that people kind of just get up and go do it, and they're not in their head, I guess, as much as I am, as far as like, well, you can't really do the job anymore. And I mean, how do you feel about like, and again, you just kind of got a taste pre-COVID, but do you feel like in this day and age, like, and I know the rules have changed and things have changed, but do you feel like you're going out there and making a difference?
Some days more than others. Yeah. I will say it is a stark difference from pre-COVID, even though I was in training and like barely knew what the fuck I was doing, compared to now, the best way I can describe it is like pre-COVID, it felt like, we were getting out there, we were getting after it and stuff like that. And COVID hit and messed everything up. And it's just been a slow like build up to the way things were,
Yeah.
So the position I'm at now, it's much more, how do I explain this? It feels much more impactful, but it's because it's a lot more contained than your like normal patrol division would be, you know what I mean?
I want to, is it too soon to jump to that? You want to talk about that a little bit?
No, let's do it.
Okay. I'm trying to get an appropriate sound up. But this is poorly made, and I just thought of it right now. Wasn't very good. We can do better. There we go. There
It
we go. Okay. So obviously, we've had a few people related to bikes on the podcast, but let's talk about that a little bit more. So tell us about the bike unit.
So the bike unit I work at, we are constrained to a very party-centric area of the city I work in. Kind of like 6th Street in Austin, you know how it has all the bars and everything?
Yeah.
It same exact thing, but for the city I work in, instead of horses, we use bikes. So essentially our job is to keep that area of the city safe so that everyone can go out and have a fun time. Because who doesn't like, going out to the bars every once in a while and drinking with friends, partying, all that jazz.
Not me. That's for the people that worship the devil.
They have fishing down there. The port's not too far away.
Oh.
There
I'm
you
on the
go.
way.
Gotcha. So yeah, pretty much like we work weekends exclusively with like a training day here and there because our schedule's kind of weird. And we ride around the area we're assigned to, looking for people who are like too drunk for their own good, passed out on the sidewalk or what have you. Bar fights break out all the time. I don't want to say every once in a while, but like there's a pretty decent amount of the time where there's legitimate crime happening, like, thefts, assaults, rapes, stuff like that. that we get to work. So it's a nice little mix of everything.
So, you know, I don't know. I think something like that where it's, I feel like it probably has a feel of a patrol unit, but also the feel of a proactive unit, like a little bit of both. I think that could be a lot of fun.
Oh, it is. It absolutely is. And you hit the nail on the head.
But are you still facing, you know, the same things where like you arrest somebody and, you know, they stole your bike before you're done with the paperwork?
Sometimes it honestly, it's kind of wishy-washy. Like there's a couple cases that happened recently that I can't talk about because they're not all the way finished yet. But for the most part, like the drunks that we pick up, they're in and out in like 4 hours, which the grand scheme of things isn't a big deal, right? They're just drunk. The other people who like, you know, assault us, try to steal our bikes, other like major felony crimes, it's really hit or miss.
Okay. So let me ask this though, because this is a pet peeve of mine as a, you know, I can't say it's a current pet peeve because I don't do the job, but let's say you arrest somebody, right? Does patrol have to come mop it up?
No, so essentially the way it works is we can do everything from the bikes except for take them to their final destination, whether that be jail, the drunk tank, whatever it is. So in order to combat that, there's an overtime assignment specifically for us where people can just sign up and essentially be taxis for us.
Oh, that would be fucking sick.
Oh yeah, it's great.
Okay. Is that like a sought after OT gig?
Yes and no. It's not everyone's cup of tea, you know, like some people just really like patrol, so all they want to do is patrol overtime, you know. Some people are like, "Oh, that sounds cush, but I hate dealing with drunks."
That's a thing.
Yeah. So, and I'll say, you know, it takes a lot of patience, especially with some of the angrier consumers of law enforcement services. They are not easy to deal with. So I don't blame someone for being like, not for me, you know?
I want to rant about drunks for a second, if you don't mind.
Here we go.
Ah, okay.
There we go.
You not turn your, did you turn your phone on? Do it live. Do it alive.
Let me turn it up real quick.
Jesus Christ, man. That's like, I'm just
Amateur
kidding.
hour.
Amateur hour. I feel like that's the first time that's happened. I mean, it's not a background baby. That was a good one. Did I name that podcast the background baby? I feel like I should have if I didn't. For those that have never been cops, which I know a few people, you know, that listen haven't, there is nothing worse than arresting a drunk guy or
Right.
girl. Because drunks, and I know this because I'm frequently drunk, don't shut the fuck up. And the way our system was, and I know it's different other places, but you know, I had to get a bunch of paperwork done before the jailers would even fucking come get these people.
Yeah.
And it was, I always thought that was so dumb because you're distracted with paperwork. They should just fucking, you know, there should be somewhere they could hold them as you do the paperwork, but there wasn't. And they'd be yelling and screaming, and you're just like, fuck, I can't hear myself think, right? And you get a lot of, you know, you work overnights where you get more of the drunks, but you look at a report from overnights and you're like, who fucking wrote this? A third grader? A kindergartner? Part of that is being tired. The other part of that is there's some fucking drunk screaming while you're trying to type out the fucking paperwork.
Yep.
I liked working nights a lot. I didn't like everything that came with working nights as far as like the days off and the sleep schedule, but like at work was awesome. But the
Yeah.
drunks, there is a downfall with that because yeah, you get drunks on swings and day shift, but not the same amount, and it's just a different kind of drunk during the day. You know, you got the pros during the day.
Yeah.
The best DUI as far as like the highest BAC I ever got That's a day shift DUI. Pros. The
Same
pros.
here. Yep.
Yeah. They are fucking legit.
I hit him
Okay.
like 0.3 and above.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good.
Half your blood's alcohol. How are you alive?
I wondered that about this guy. I think I found the picture somewhere with the percentage, and somebody once told me like that was the highest percentage on the department. I don't know if that's true or not, but I didn't have to, obviously I wasn't doing roadsides. I mean, that guy was pretty fucked up, but it was a good one. It's like, I was, it's not like something you can really be proud of. Like, oh, I went and found this guy. It's like, now we found him in the middle of the road, passed out. It's not really like a go get you DUI, but it is what it is. So are you happy? Now, did you, well, hold on a second. I'm not going to ask you if you're happy. That's a fucking deep. You know
That's a
what?
long question.
New question on the podcast right this fucking minute. We'll
Are you
talk about
happy?
whatever later. Are you happy?
Definitely more than I was. Yes.
Okay, good. Are you happy? I have a feeling I'm gonna ask the wrong dude or chick that on this podcast. It's gonna get real. We'll see if I remember to do that for the next one. Okay, so did you finish your degree or no?
I did, yeah. I luckily, because COVID was like so soon after I got hired, I was able to do online classes for both of my last semesters.
Oh, sweet. Okay. Because I was going to ask if it was one of those things where you, some people do that, right? Like they start college and then an opportunity presents itself. Oh my God, the fucking cat is pawing at my ass. This fucking cat, this fucking kitten. An opportunity presents itself and they're like, fuck it. I'm going to go do this instead of finishing college, which we all know how I feel about college. Just fucking bullshit anyway. But at least you have that criminal justice degree now. That'll take you anywhere.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Any job I want, degree, easy money.
Yeah, pretty sure NASA is looking for rocket surgeons there, so that's the degree you want.
Perfect.
So, and I know this is a question I normally ask later, but we'll just ask it now. Are you happy you made that choice, or do you kind of wish you would have played out college and seen what happened?
It's kind of a double-edged sword. So the If I had the choice, let's say rewind time and I get hired, right? Knowing everything I know now, I probably wouldn't have finished my degree. I probably would have been like, nope, I'm gonna do this job. It pays well, like degree or not, it is what it is, right? In the grand scheme of things, it was better that I finished the degree because then I get certain post certificates sooner and stuff like that. So it works out better career-wise. But the amount of stress it caused me in the moment was absolutely not worth it.
See, kids, don't go to college.
Save the money.
Save the money. You know, I don't know. I'm kind of hoping. I have lots of thoughts on college, and this is not the place. And obviously, I'm not an educated man. I can't enunciate words, so maybe I shouldn't have thoughts on college. But I hope. I feel like there's a lot of pressure on colleges, or at least it seems in my world there is. Like, hey, you're fucking sending people out here with fucking degrees that are basically meaningless. They're fucking paperweights. I hope the younger generation of people, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I think we need people pushing the boundaries as far as everything, right? Educationally, through science, whatever. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like, we need to keep pushing the envelope. And so obviously there's a need for colleges and for like really technical shit, but like some of the shit I hope people are like, all right, we don't need basket weaving as a 4-year major. We don't need dance therapy as a 4-year major. Like, yeah, maybe that's a class you take at the fucking rec center, not a college degree. Like, oh, you gotta take a pottery class? Okay, cool. Yeah, maybe not a 4-year degree. Shit like that. And I hope, hopefully they start looking at like what the world actually needs. I don't know if anybody's gonna go to college to be a truck driver. We need some fucking truck drivers, that's for sure. But y'all know what I'm saying. Like I hope that the education system is kind of changing. I I feel like there's some pressure on them to fucking be better, but I don't fucking know. I mean, they fucking charge people an arm and a leg to fucking give them a fucking paperweight, in my opinion. But that's neither here nor there.
All right, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back to the podcast. Attention all law enforcement officers. Looking for a badge as flexible and resilient as you are? Discover Flex Shield by Ghost Patch. Our Flex Shields are not just generic badges. They're custom-made, flexible, metallic emblems designed to replicate your actual badge. Perfect for outer carriers, they come with a durable Velcro backing, making them easy to attach and keep them secure. Looking for a distinguished wallet badge? Flex Shield fits the bill. Why choose Flex Shield? We offer unmatched quality at nearly half the price of our competitors, and we never charge for mold or setup fees. Plus, we're the only ones offering true dual plating, a testament to our commitment to excellence. Proudly law enforcement owned and operated, we understand what it means to wear a badge. Start your custom order today at ghostpatchcustom.com. Flex Shield, the badge of the future.
So this is a very poorly made podcast. I'm gonna let you decide.
All right, let's hit it.
Do you want to get into your list, or do you want to do some poorly made police news?
Let's do the news. Fuck it.
Fuck it. We're doing it live. That's the name of the podcast. Okay.
Fuck it, we'll do it live.
So, and if I was fucking good at my job, I'd have this shit pulled up. And I don't think I'm gonna play the video because it's not gonna work out very well. And I wasn't gonna do the news, and part of the reason I'm late to this is because somebody sent this article to me and I was like, oh, this is good, we need to fucking talk about this.
Yes, so, acorns are dangerous weapons. Next
yeah,
question.
Acorns are very dangerous weapons. Well, I know. I was thinking about talking to this one about this one, and by the time this podcast comes out, who knows what'll be going on with it, but this is not the story we're going to talk about. But you've seen the thing with the kid that had, like, I don't know, the rake or whatever the fucking thing he had. I don't know what the fuck he had. Some kind of sharp outdoor tool looking thing. He was charging the cop and the cop shot him. That's.
I can't say I've seen that.
Oh, you haven't? Oh, okay. No. I'm sure you will. I'm kind of surprised it hasn't blown up more because African-American kid or black. I don't know which one you're supposed to say now. Always changes. Not quite sure. And he's like, 15, he has autism, I guess, and like some kind of family disturbance. Cop gets there, kid comes charging out with whatever this thing was. I couldn't really tell in the video, and the cop shoots him, right? Which it appears to be a justified shoot based on like the clip I saw on fucking Instagram. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, there's not a whole lot of context around that, but I'm a little hesitant, you know, like we'll talk about some stuff obviously on the podcast. You know, we did the acorn thing, and you know, we obviously talked about a lot of stuff, but I'd like to stay a little more cheeky and fun. So I don't know if I want to dive into the more controversial stuff, but I'm kind of surprised that that one hasn't picked up a lot of steam, it being very close to an election year. So I guess we'll kind of keep an eye on this. Who knows? Maybe by the time this podcast comes out, the whole thing would have blown up and that's all everybody's going to be talking about. I don't know.
Yeah.
So the news I'm going to talk about is, and of course I don't have the fucking article pulled up because I'm terrible at job. But there is a guy in Connecticut, a cop, 20-year cop, road rage type thing. Actually, okay. Let me pull up the fucking article so I'm not a piece of shit. We're doing it live.
Doing it live. Is it the like the TikTok video where it's an off-duty guy and he gets out and punches the other driver in the face or something like that?
Yeah. Did you see that?
I did, yeah.
Okay. All right, so this is not the article I had up, but it's CBS News. A Connecticut police officer was suspended for 5 days and arrested on assault charges after video showed him punching a motorist during an altercation while off duty in December. Dashcam footage obtained by multiple outlets shows Meridian Police Corporal Alan Ganter punching the motorist Thomas Brolecchio. I don't know, can't do Italian names. Brolecchio, Samsonite, in the face through the driver's side window after the two argued. On December 8th, 2023, while Ganter wasn't turning right on a red. Okay, so I encourage you to go find the video and watch it, because this is not one of those ones I can play on the podcast and it'll fucking be any good. But so the cop, he's sitting on a right on red type situation. The guy record. So the cop is off duty. He's in front of the guy recording. The guy recording just is one of those dudes that, I don't know if he's like a dude that likes recording himself all the time, but he's fucking recording himself in the car, like an in-car camera. I don't know if it's part of his job or what, which I think is very odd. And he's like in there like, oh, this guy needs to fucking go, and flipping off the guy and all kinds of shit, right? And he honks. So the cop gets out and he badges him. And, you know, he's the whole like typical road rage thing. And the guy is saying, oh, were you looking at your phone? Why aren't you turning? And the cop's like, you know, grabbing something in my bag or whatever. It looked like there was plenty of traffic. I mean, I don't know. It's one of those things like, A, why are we still getting mad in fucking cars? I do too. But fucking calm down. All right. Both people need to calm the fuck down. Somebody honks at you. Do you need to get out of the car and fucking badge them? Do you really need absolutely. To fucking do that?
No, absolutely not.
Fucking stupid.
I'm not going to say I'm not above yelling expletives in my car. You know, every day that goes by, I'm sure there's at least one moment where I'm like, what the fuck? You know, just fucking yelling and screaming about some dumbass on the road. But the way I see it, people are bold and brash enough to like get out of cars and, you know, fight cops, kill cops, whatever. Imagine what they're going to do to some like seemingly regular dude. They don't know you're a cop, like badge or not. You know, there's no fucking reason to get out of the car and engage with this driver, you know? No. If they like try to run you off the road or something, different story. But like you're sitting at a light, you just take it for what it is and go on, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Now, the guys, they're yelling and screaming at each other. I mean, it's not bad. They're just, and the guy's like, well, threaten them, write up a ticket or whatever. And the guys were asking for his badge number. And then for whatever reason, the cop punches the guy in the car.
Yeah.
Fucking reaches in and punches a guy. Now, watching the video, it wasn't much of a punch. Okay, but he's still fucking reaching in the car and punch him. So now we've elevated this to like getting out of the car, which I think we all agree you wouldn't have done. I wouldn't have done. Just fucking go about your day. Who gives a shit? Right? Who fucking gives a shit? Guy honked at you. Who? Fuck, stop. Like, who fucking cares? Sorry. It just drives me nuts. Like, God, I feel like there was another story like that where that kind of shit happened with a cop. But so this guy takes it to the next level, punches him, and then leaves. So the guy ends up, you know, he gets charged with assault and he gets suspended for 5 days. How does that dude have a job? I mean, am I out of my mind? I get this guy's a 20-year cop, and I know it wasn't much of a punch, but I mean, that is still, a really poor fucking judgment.
Yeah.
Really poor judgment, bad judgment. How does he have a job? Am I being like over the top with this? Because I don't think he should have a job.
No, absolutely not. We're expected to uphold the law, right? At the end of the day, whatever that law might be. And if you're out and about in like normal civilian attire or whatever, doing that kind of shit, you know what? Obviously, I don't know the guy, so I can't like say anything, but what else are you doing on your days off? You know what I mean? Like, it's a little absurd to be going to work and like trying to do cop shit, and then in your days off, go like, oh yeah, this warrant's breaking the law. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, and I'm the guy. I'm like the moral guy, you know, where like fucking people are cheating. Fuck that guy. He shouldn't be a cop. But I know that's a little extreme. I know people don't agree with that, but fucking punching somebody, right? Again, it's a little girly punch. It wasn't much of a punch.
Yeah. But
dude, if he did that fucking on duty on a traffic stop, just some guy arguing with him, he pops him in the face. You can't do that. There's no rationale for popping that guy. No reason at all. Even if he didn't badge him. Even if he just like, I still think he should be getting fired. I don't know how this dude hangs on to his job. That's fucking crazy to me.
Yeah.
I don't know. Wild. Maybe there's some kind of context I don't understand why he wouldn't have got fired, but it's pretty fucking stupid.
Connecticut does have a couple of incidents like the Oh, fuck. I have a coin of him. He's a fucking.
Oh,
It's.
Spinier, whatever the guy, the
Yes.
Connecticut
Yes, that
trooper.
guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
My idol.
He didn't fucking punch anybody.
No, he did not. No.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's wild that dude kept his job. So, for you guys out there, when you're off duty, fucking chill the fuck out. Chill the fuck out. Now, it's funny because I've said, I don't know, I think there's differences in things, you know, and I know some people would disagree. Like, I think there is a time and a place to intervene off duty. I think that line has changed a lot. You know, like, would you intervene in a shoplift?
No, absolutely
Probably
not.
not. In my heart, I'm like, fuck these people. But my brain, I'm like, okay, we probably shouldn't. I hate people just getting away with shit. But shoplifting, that's actually like a crime. I mean, yeah, you got some guy fucking
Yeah.
honking at you. Who gives a shit? Stop. Fucking think for a second. I know why people get, and you know, you admit it, and I admit, like, I'll cuss in the car and shit, but my windows are rolled out. You know, I don't very okay. Have I flipped somebody off? Yeah, I have.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Not very often. It takes real special asshole. But that's ridiculous, right? I shouldn't be flipping people off. I'm a grown fucking adult. Don't fucking get out of your car. If somebody gets out of their car and wants to fucking talk to you, I'd fucking roll up the window if and drive away if you can. It's not fucking worth it. It ain't fucking worth it. I don't know. I don't the road rage thing, it gets a little wild sometimes. You got any more thoughts on that? Our poorly made news?
No, not really. Don't punch
Okay.
people off duty. That's it.
Yeah, don't punch people off duty. Now, you guys, you've been doing pretty good with the news. Keep sending in stupid articles for me to talk about on the podcast. You guys are kind of fucking killing me on the juice worth the squeeze. So send those shit in. But I'm gonna do one off of this. Is the juice worth the squeeze?
No.
Getting out of your car. Somebody honks at you. No, it's not.
Absolutely not.
Okay. Let's talk about you. Let's get back to your list. Your very, very fancy list, which we know. We all know that I love and appreciate lists. Okay. So we kind of talked about this a little bit, but not directly. Starting the job young, which obviously, you know, everybody knows how I feel about that. I think a little life experience. What are your thoughts on that?
So obviously, like starting at 20 and a half has given me a head start compared to other people my age, right? Like at the end of my career, whether I decide to retire at like, you know, in my 50s, my 60s, whatever, right? I'm gonna have a fat pension.
Yeah.
My retirement is gonna be cush. But there's a lot of growing up to do very, very fast when you start that young, you know. It, and I'm not saying I was like, you know, a reckless 20-year-old or whatever. Like I was very reserved, I guess to put it. Like I didn't drink, didn't smoke, no drugs, like nothing like that. I woke up, went to school, did work, went home. Nothing remarkable, right? But because of my lack of world experience, we'll call it. It's not really a lack. It's more so like a lack of exposure to super challenging things. My confidence fluctuated like almost daily in the academy, in phase. You know, even today, I suffer from some confidence issues of like beat myself up more than I should over silly mistakes or something like that, you know? And I feel like that's something that comes with age where you can look back on something and go like, oh, hey, it's a slip up. It is what it is, you know? So starting out as young, I feel like emotionally isn't, or rather emotionally and psychologically isn't exactly beneficial, you know?
Yeah, I think it depends on the person, you know, honestly. Like, there was a dude, I was a class ahead of me that started, I think he was 21 when he started, and I was in my late 20s. So I think by the time I left, he was a little older than I was when I started. And the dude, he just was mature, and he just had a level head. And you know, I always thought he was older than me, but he was fucking years younger than me. It just depends on the person. That's why I don't like blanket rules. You know, because I think, a lot of guys will say you shouldn't start law enforcement until 25. I think that's a good baseline. I think 25 is good. I know when I was your age, back when I was your age,
When I had to
but
walk uphill to school both ways in the
yeah,
snow.
it was tough, man. A lot of snow. I would have had no business being a cop. It's a serious job, right? Like, I tell fucking dick jokes and fart jokes and talk about shit in their pants, but this job that is so fucking important to me and a lot of people listen to this podcast is fucking serious. You know, we get often accused by the ACABers, which, by the way, I might be cooking up an ACAB podcast. We'll see.
Oh boy.
I've tried to get ACAB people on the podcast before, and they're a bunch of pussies, but maybe I can get a guy. But I might approach it from a different direction, maybe with my Tobies. We'll see. I say that and I probably forget about it, but I might try to do this. But there's a lot of people in that ACAB crowd that feel like cops don't understand the Constitution and don't respect people's rights and shit. That is very important to me. The Constitution and people's rights is very fucking important to me. And having a grasp of that and what's important and what's not important, I can't, I'll never be Bill O'Reilly. I can't enunciate, but I'll never. It's important shit, right? This is important fucking shit. And I think sometimes when you're wrapped up in all the other stuff that along with the job, I would argue people kind of lose sight of that. Lose sight of these very important laws that were put into place to protect people a long, long time ago. And kind of keep that shit in mind. Keep in mind like why they are actually doing what they do and are very careful not to infringe on people's rights. It's, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like sometimes that kind of gets lost in the sauce, right? And let's be honest. I probably worked with some cops that wasn't on the forefront of their mind handling calls sometimes, is making sure I'm not violating somebody's rights. I mean, I never saw anybody do like something crazy, right? Like crazy, crazy, crazy violations. But let me give you a really dumb example, and it drives me fucking up the wall. Sorry, I'm kind of going all left field.
No
Okay.
worries.
I know there's departments out there that if they're going to give somebody a warning for a traffic violation, they will print out or they will write out a warning, like a physical warning. Hey, this is why you got stopped, and you're getting a warning for it. I'm sure you've ever seen anything like that.
Yeah, our department has them. Do they get used? Who knows?
Okay. So, and I don't know, maybe there's a time and place, but, and again, this is fucking out there, and this is probably just like a me thing, but I feel like the moment you're not going to write somebody a ticket or take any further action, there that the traffic stop needs to stop. And I know it's just a couple minutes to like write out a warning, right? But to me, that's fucking stupid. Fucking, you got all their information. If you need to go track them down later, you should have that from, when you made your first initial approach. Walk back up to the car. Hey, don't do that again. You're free to go. I know that's a really weird thing, but that extra 2 minutes that you're writing out your fucking warning, by the way, don't violate department policy because of my interpretation of a seizure. Just fucking let them go. Let them go. You're fucking, you've stopped them. You're done. Stop. Let them go. Maybe I'm a little wild for that. But you're hanging on to people longer than they need to be hung on to, is what I'm saying.
I'm not going to say you're completely wrong. However, I am going to play devil's advocate.
Okay. I'm here for it because I'm not always right.
So I would argue that, for example, for me, right? When I stop someone, whether or not I write a ticket is completely based on the driver's demeanor. And what I mean by that is, does their demeanor show me that they're going to learn from this experience and not break whatever law I pulled them over for again, right? Because that's the whole point of doing traffic stops purely for the purpose of traffic, not, you know, hunting for warrants or whatever, like whatever that is, you know? If you're pulling someone over simply because you're doing like traffic enforcement or something, your main goal is to make sure that they understand they broke the law and they're not going to do it again. Some people, obviously, like you're saying, just need the verbal warning and the like fear of God moment of like, oh fuck, I just got pulled over, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Other people deserve the full ticket because you can tell like, hey, they're not going to learn unless there's some sort of punitive damages. Some people really, really toe that line. And me personally, I feel like if they toe that line, they need something concrete they can look at and go like, I got really, really close to getting a full-blown ticket. Maybe I shouldn't do that again. Because a lot of people will just take that verbal warning and be like, eh, fuck it, I'll forget it tomorrow. But if you give them that paper, provided they don't, you know, throw it away within the next 5 minutes, they'll be forced to look at that and go like, ooh, I probably shouldn't do that again.
Okay. But where is that in the Constitution that you need to give them that extra warning? Because it's not. Okay. You want to get way into left field with this?
Let's hit it. Let's do it.
Because I would be curious, like, how a court process would work out. Now, this is a total fucking, like, really crazy scenario. Probably would never happen. It's not super crazy, but I've thought about this, right? Everything we do is recorded, right?
Right.
Okay. So you're writing out, we'll just say for the sake of this fake scenario, that you're sitting in a car with your body camera on and you're scratching out a warning, right? Or even typing out a warning. So it's on the computer that, or on your body camera, this guy is not getting a citation. They're basically free to leave, right?
Sure, yeah.
The car takes off. Are you going to pursue a car that you were going to give a warning to?
So I would argue, right?
Okay.
You pull a traffic stop and you're not deciding whether or not they're getting a ticket until you get back to your car. Agree?
Agree.
Okay. You're doing your records checks and everything. As far as they know, they're still not free to leave until they get that disposition, right?
Agreed. Agreed.
So if they take off before you give that disposition, I would say you're all for it. Now, will it hold up in court? I'm sure it depends on which court, you know? And I would also argue, you know, the written warning is given in place of a verbal warning. So realistically, you're still like, the PC is still there because they definitely violated the law and you have PC to cite them, arrest them, whatever. You're just choosing not to based on your discretion, you know? So until that discretion has been communicated, I would say you're good to go.
Now, to play devil's advocate, because I think you're right. I'm this made up scenario is just kind of be a dick about it. But because I'm just trying to prove a point here. Like, obviously, fucking somebody takes off, you're going to chase them, right? Well, if you're allowed to. but, you know, let's say you fucking chase this dude and you catch him. The court, you know, the defense attorney would be like, you weren't going to write him a stop, or you weren't going to write him a ticket. He was free to go at that point. what justification do you have to, chase them? Now, obviously, this is a really bad example because if you're chasing somebody, they're probably violating more laws, to get away kind of thing. But
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a scenario out there where that could be a problem. Now, in the scheme of things, like, who gives a shit? Because most people are probably very happy that they get their written warnings or whatever. But me personally, I just look at this as like, all right, your traffic stop is done, concluded as quick as possible. Just because your department has a policy that you fucking give a written warning, that policy doesn't supersede people's rights. Is kind of
Right.
the point. Is probably a better way to make that point. A little mind exercise. God damn it, I can't talk. A poorly made mind exercise. There it
Yeah.
is. I'm sure a bunch of people would be like, "You're fucking dumb. I don't agree with you." I get it. I'm trying to prove a point. Just fucking let people go. I'm not gonna fucking write them a ticket. Just fucking let them go. Stop fucking around. That's just
Yeah.
me. We kind of got a. I don't even fucking know what we were talking about. Do you remember what we were talking about?
Starting the job young.
Starting a job young. Are you happy with that decision? Or do you kind of wish you had a little more seasoning first?
Now in this moment, I'm happy with my decision because it's offered me a lot of great experiences. I've made a ton of good friends, overall, life is good. But the hardships and the growing up I had to get to this point was not easy. You know what I mean? So it makes it kind of bittersweet.
Can you dive into that a little bit?
Yeah, of course. So for example, because I'm so young, right? Rewinding a bit to my backstory, I grew up in a domestic violence household, right? So going to DVs in training and like just out of training, the only marital experience I'd ever known trying to figure out if someone beat the fuck out of someone else was, oh, hey, my dad used to do this to my mom. This isn't okay, question mark. This isn't normal.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like stuff like that, or like wrapping your head around like sometimes there just isn't an answer for why people do what they do. You can ask the meth head for like forever why he decided to go out and swing bats at people, and you can, question them all day long, sober or not sober, and they're just going to give you an answer like, oh, because there was bees in my teeth, and you're just going to have to live with that, not exactly having like life experience and being comfortable with being able to take something for face value and like moving on is a big hurdle to jump for someone who's used to having like answers given to him coming up through school, or like having adults to support you through like difficult decisions. 'Cause let's be honest, the job has a bunch of difficult decisions, right?
Yeah.
And when you get hired and when you get out of phase, those decisions are all on you. There's no, oh, I did this because so and so told me to. It's, I did this because I decided it based on X, Y, and Z. There's not really a fallback.
I don't want to get too far away from what you brought up, but I think this is kind of relevant. And I was thinking about this the other day, and I wish I could. I should fucking write shit down. By the way, people, write stuff down because you'll fucking forget. But I was thinking about like sometimes there's just not an answer. And I'm kind of glad you brought that up, because I think sometimes, or say sometimes even the answer isn't worth even finding, which I know that kind of goes against like a lot of the things we learn as human beings. Sometimes the juice isn't worth the squeeze. Just kidding. I fucking hate that. But sometimes it's just not, who cares? And I know we're talking about, you're talking about policing and teeth and bees and all that stuff, which is bad. But sometimes there's not an answer. It's not worth the, what are you gonna do? Not worth your time. But go on. So the struggles of a young cop, right? Kind of, you know, I always use the domestic as like the prime example. Like, how are you going to fucking tell people how to handle their lives when you, you know, when you have, you probably were fucking still a virgin when you got hired.
How dare you, sir? I'm not Toby.
Can you imagine? Okay, this is a weird. Oh, God. Here we go. Okay. Virgin. Virgin cop.
Go on.
Oh, that's my next guest. I need a virgin. I'm not going to sacrifice you like the Aztecs and the Mayans. Was it the Aztecs or the Mayans? You went to college. I don't know.
One of the two. Definitely one of the two.
Maybe both. I'm not sure. I'm not going to sacrifice you, but I need somebody that was a fucking virgin when they were a cop, when they first started. Maybe they're still a virgin. I don't know. I feel like sometimes there's some investigations where you need to be a little worldly, and I guess is a weird way to put it. And, you know, you can't be like, well, did it feel like sandpaper?
Jesus. Oh, my God. Fuck.
Lord, I apologize. That was a fucked up joke. But you know what I'm saying, though? I feel like, you know, so how do you relate to somebody? I mean, obviously, it's kind of hard to relate to somebody that's like a victim of, like, let's be honest, like, you become a cop to solve that type of shit, right?
Yeah.
Those really fucking heinous sex crimes. But if you don't even know what to ask.
Yeah.
You know, I guess, you know, I feel like your victim. Now, obviously, probably you would have a detective helping you along with some of that stuff. But your victim would be like, is this guy fucking real?
Yeah.
I feel like the world changes. That's a con. You know, you were talking about not being confident. That's how you get confidence. Get laid.
You're not wrong.
That's how you become a good cop. You heard it here first on Poorly Made Police Podcast. If you're lacking confidence as a cop, you just got to get laid. And you'll
poorly
be good.
Poorly made police tips.
Poorly made police tips. Pun intended. Be here all night, folks. Tip your waitress. Okay. So, I keep stealing your thunder with like really weird and obscure things. I'm really bad at my job. I apologize.
No worries. It wouldn't be poorly made if it wasn't.
It's so poorly made. Somebody said like, "Oh, your interview skills are getting better." I'm like, "Are they though?" I don't think ADHD and being a fucking interviewer is a good thing. Let's go to your second bullet point.
All right.
Burnout, job frustrations, and when it's time to make a change, which I like that you put in here, the change doesn't necessarily have to be leaving, but the changes in job, workplace, or department, which I think the way I translated that in my head is even to a different unit.
Yes, correct.
Let's talk about that. What are your thoughts on that?
So at one point in my very short career so far, I had worked at the same place for like 3-ish years, like just over 3 years. And over my time at that station, I had listened to your podcast, and I noticed like very early on in your podcast, you talked about like how you were feeling with your department, you know, the frustration, the feeling like, fuck, why is everything so shitty? You know what I mean? And
oh yeah,
it being around COVID, when I was going through these woes, was like a lot of people were leaving because of the vaccine stuff, and a lot of people were leaving because retirement or just deciding, oh, fuck it, policing worth it anymore, you know? I noticed that what was once like, oh, this is such a cool fucking job, like, I'm so happy to be here, yada, 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 turned into me dreading coming to work. And after some, like, I'm not going to lie, you know, there were some days where I would come in And at some point during the shift, something would set me off and I'd go on like a 15-minute yelling rant about like how shitty work was, you know? And no one should have to go through that because it doesn't make for a good workplace for yourself or your coworkers, right? So I had to have a come to Jesus moment of like, what's really making me unhappy here? I was looking around at different departments. I was looking around at like careers outside of law enforcement. And I decided, you know what? I'll try a change of scenery, AKA being a bike cop. And we're just going to see how that works out. And it is by far the best decision that I have ever made.
So what you're saying is patrol sucks.
I don't necessarily think it was patrol. I think it was a mixture of the working environment of the station I was at, the shenanigans that would take place, and the decisions that may or may not have been made while I was there. I'll tell you this. It got to a point where on Halloween, I came into lineup dressed as a lieutenant, kind of like a fuck, what's his name from Reno 911? Lieutenant Dangle.
Dangle, yeah.
Yes, I came in on Halloween dressed up as Lieutenant Dangle, pretending to be one of my department's higher ups, and just went on a rant about, you know, how shitty everything was and how it was all the command's fault. It was a great bit. I will say, one of
That's
my
some
greatest.
fucking balls right there.
Oh yeah, it was a great bit, but I think that moment right there was like, fuck, I am not happy here. I need something else, you know?
All right. I'm going to ruin your thought again with like random incoherent ramblings. This could be incoherent ramblings part two. The better version. You know what? I might just like punish myself and listen to that one again because I'm pretty sure it was really bad. And again, I don't fu I'm not fucking worldly. I'm not educated at all, but there's been a kind of a changing in the guard as far as the way people look at things, right? I feel like 30 years ago, 50 years ago, maybe 10 years ago, people kind of knew work sucked. And they're like, oh, work sucks, right? Now, I think an argument is definitely is could easily be made that policing has gotten worse. I mean, I'm not going to say that that's not the case, but I would say that the attitude of people, for better or worse, is like, no, I don't have to do this. Which I agree with that. And I'm not saying that you're not doing this. I think this is a good segue. Like, I feel like before, especially like policing service related jobs, when I say service, I mean like government type jobs, right?
Right.
I think there was like a, all right, this sucks, but it's kind of my duty. And a lot of people are like, this sucks. I don't really care that much about the duty part of it anymore. Fuck these people, is kind of the thought it's gotten to. And I think that's just different than what it was. I mean, like, oh, you know, not that long ago, the fucking government job, steady paycheck, back when it had a good pension, like that's what fucking people wanted. That's not good. That, you know, this is the type of job that in theory shouldn't go away. Although furloughs and shit like that are not, you know, that has happened in law enforcement for sure. And in this day and age, you know, I think people are kind of realizing, I don't know, half of me looks at this in two different lenses. Like we're more selfish now. But then the other half of me is like, well, is it okay to be selfish when it comes to your own life? And with policing, you see people leaving, see people not wanting to do a job. I think there's a lot of fence sitters like me that were in, or maybe never were in, that was like, God, I really want to be a cop, but it's stupid. Now let me throw the other caveat. And this is kind of like, this is kind of a reflection on me, but I think as I say this, I think you guys can kind of look upon yourselves, a little self-reflection here, because I think we all kind of do it. And I think we all have a responsibility to, but not just ourselves, but to the people that we work with, to have a good working environment. I struggle on this podcast with, I want to talk about the real shit, right? We talk about some real fucking shit on this podcast, and we also talk about some really fucking dumb shit. It's a very stark contrast. I sometimes worry with this and memes, like, am I helping or am I hurting? And I know people have messaged me and say, oh, yeah, it helps so much to hear other people are going through it. But, and I don't feel like it's this way, but maybe it is. It's the constant negativity. Like you said that you listen to my podcast and you heard me complain about things, which probably wasn't good for you. Is the constant negativity. I'm doing a really good job for future listeners of my podcast, by the way. But it's the constant negativity about the job. Because you see it everywhere, right?
Right.
You see it, you know, we all follow, like I follow a bunch of cop meme pages, right? Fucking ton. And they're all fucking negative. Almost all the memes are negative, you know? They're funny, but a lot of them are fucking negative. This podcast is probably 50-50. There's a lot of negative stuff in this podcast. There's... You go door to door with your buddy, or in your case, bike to bike with your buddy. There's a lot of negative shit. Like, you're not talking about good things. You're talking about negative shit. And kind of going back to my rant about, like, we make everything fucking something else, right? Like, I don't think I can name this podcast The Abortion of Policing. But, you know, we bring up the abortion, right, of policing. And, you know, I'm okay. By the way, you can use that word in multiple different ways, but most people choose not to. Although I always find it really funny when people call something an abortion that's not an abortion. I don't know if I should or not. you know, that call was an abortion. That's funny. you know, well, I lost my whole train of thought, but I don't know. Am I just fucking, is that tracking, you know, like just the constant negativity about things, like you surround yourself in it. Like, I always hated after calls with certain people. Like, there are certain people you like bullshitting with after calls, but then there's other people that just every time you fucking bullshit with them after call, it's fucking a bitch fest about this and that, and it gets fucking old.
Yeah.
And we're just surrounded by negativity. Everything online is negative. You know, you have people, we fucking talk about fishing, they're talking about abortions. Everything's so fucking negative these days. I almost wonder if the negativity, the down feeling, at least I feel that way, like, no, you know, post COVID, like haze, nobody's happy anymore, even though you said you're happy. I feel like it just it weighs on you, man. And I think, does it make the job even harder than it is?
Yeah.
Or is the negativity warranted? I don't know. I don't know the answer to these questions. What do you think?
To touch on your earlier point,
sorry, that was weird.
It's only if you make it weird. The negativity that I brought up with, like, your podcast and stuff, it wasn't so much like an influence on my unhappiness where I was. It was much more so like I could relate to what you were talking about. You know, I was like, oh shit, I'm going through that same thing, right? In terms of like the general negativity, I mean, as cops, we put up with a bunch of negative shit, you know, like the population we deal with is not the general population, albeit minus like one or two encounters a month here and there. You know, we typically deal with career criminals or people who like have made a series of decisions that have got them to the point they're at, you know, and I feel as though sometimes the negativity that cops spread to other cops is a bit of a coping mechanism, you know? So like you can kind of, I don't want to say shift the blame, but like shift your worldview onto something that isn't in your control. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, and I've shared this before, and I guess my what I would wish upon people that just kind of listen to us kind of rant about that a little bit is a little self-reflection. You know, think about, you know, what you're consuming, right? Like, you know, consumption is more than just food. You know, I'm a big fat piece of shit, although I'm working on that. Consumption is media. Consumption is, you know, the people you talk to, you know, the things that you surround yourself with. And is that bad for you? You know, stress is a really bad thing, you know, for your body. And I, again, I'm not educated, but I do know that. I know when I'm stressed, everything, we all, that's fuck, you know, you guys aren't stupid. When you're stressed, everything fucking goes haywire. It's not good for you. You can't sleep. You're eating poorly. You're fucking a degenerate gambler. Oh, I'm talking about me. It's not good. Stress is a bad thing, but I guess where I'll end this little discussion. This is a really solid advice I got, and I've said it before and I'll say it again. Having a good, you can only control your little circle of influence, right? You know, we all have our complaints about the job and the world and shit, but you know, we talk about this with like little kids, right? Or like with criminals and stuff, but like you can have a positive impact on your coworkers, on family. All right, let me throw something out. I don't know if you're married or not. I mean, you're a virgin. I don't know if you're waiting or not, but even beyond like the job, like let's say like I know from my personal like experience, if you're if, having like a positive attitude about things radiates to other people, right?
Yes.
But having a bad attitude can radiate to other people as well. You know what I'm saying? So,
Yeah.
like, you know, I think, you know, if you're married and your spouse is having a bad day, guess what? You're having a fucking bad day too, all right? It's a real fucking thing. And I say that, people are like, oh, him saying bad things about his wife. What if I'm that fucking spouse? If I'm having a fucking bad day, what if I'm bringing my wife down? Like, I know I've fucking done that shit. And as a man, that's, you know, something I'm trying to get better at, but it's fucking, it's a real fucking thing. It's a real fucking thing. So that small circle of influence, you know, your coworkers, family, your friends, like it, you can have a big impact on people just by having a good fucking attitude.
Absolutely.
All right, we're gonna take a quick break and be right back to the podcast. Oh, hey there, it's just me. Just got a couple quick things for you guys. Wanted to remind you in the podcast description and on the meme page, I got a link tree that has all your favorite poorly made stuff. You can get to the Ghost Patch stuff that we do together. You can also get the Flex Shield by Ghost Patch. Got our friends Officer Privacy, Fit Responder, Frontline Optics, Revelations Training, and then of course a link to my merch. So make sure you guys are checking that out for everything poorly made. And one last thing before I let you get back to the podcast, the very last thing you see on every single podcast is a link. That's how you become a monthly donor slash sponsor to the podcast. You can do that if you love the podcast and you want to help a fella out, or if you just feel sorry for me, go ahead and click that link to be a monthly donor. Now, back to the podcast. What's next? What is next on your list? By the way,
go
by the
on.
way, it's March. Weather's a little spicy, so hopefully power doesn't go out. I always worry about that, being in Iowa
There's no
and recording
tornado
podcasts.
part two.
There's no tornadoes right now. There's a chance of severe weather and a storm's rolling in right now. But I'm always fucking recording these things when storms are rolling through. My fucking luck, the power's gonna go out. It's not gonna save the fucking recording, and I'm gonna fucking be pissed. But hopefully that doesn't happen. Okay. The last thing on your list, I think, is an important thing. It kind of ties all this hopefully nicely together in a neat little bow, little virgin bow. Mental health stigma in policing. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, so around the same time that I was unhappy with where I was in my career and, you know, my workplace and all that, I had a long-term girlfriend break up with me, and that combined with the workplace stuff and all that jazz, like I was not in a good place. Not necessarily like, oh God, I'm gonna kill myself, you know, but like I was essentially turning into a couch potato. Like, I didn't want to do anything. I didn't want to fucking talk to anyone. I just wanted to wake up, work, go home. And I'm sure as I say this, everyone knows one person that is kind of like that. It, my attitude and like my quality of life, we'll call it, essentially got to the point where I was like, fuck, I can't do this for like years. Like, I'm not gonna be able to get through this shit on my own. I need help, you know? And that everyone says like you need to have that realization before you start like, you know, therapy or like working on yourself or whatever. But having that realization, especially as a cop, when you're used to like figuring stuff out on your own or whatever, it's a scary thought, you know, because not only are you making yourself feel like, oh fuck, I'm a piece of shit, now I'm gonna have to unload all my problems onto someone else, but also it's like the whole mental toughness and physical toughness thing they beat into you in the academy, right? It just kind of snowballs into this like negative, I'm a piece of shit, I'm a failure attitude. And so making that first contact with like someone that can help you is, it's really, really tough, you know? Luckily, I was able to reach out to the therapy help that my department provides. And it's all like anonymous, so the department doesn't know like I go or whatever, right? I'm essentially just a number on a fucking piece of paper so they can justify their existence. But I went through with it for probably like 3, 4 months, and it's like I'm a whole new person, you know? Like I went from being a couch potato, which looking at my couch, I can see the fucking divot where I was sitting for like hours and hours on end, to now I'm like, you know, going out and having dinners with friends on the weekends, like going to sports ball, going and like just having fun because I want to do it, not because I feel, you know, obligated to go see someone or like because I feel like I've been trapped in the house forever, you know what I mean? And so the, I guess my point is like the stigma that surrounds getting that mental health help is such a huge barrier to getting to the point where, say, for example, I am, that it's kind of demoralizing to think other people going through it and not taking that step to get help.
Like me. Yeah,
That's what the alcohol's for, buddy. Alcohol and fishing.
actually I bought a sign that says fishing is cheaper than therapy.
There
It's
you go.
hanging up in my house. It's probably not the way I spend money on fishing, but no, it is like, and I'm obviously a proponent, right? Like go and talk to somebody. But the stigma is still a fucking real thing, right? And me, I'm kind of fighting myself on that. Like, at some point, you know, I'm gonna have to just fucking bite the bullet and do something a little out of my comfort zone, and I'll probably be a lot better for it, right? I had some people that you know, not real friends, but like internet friends that, you know, I've talked to for a while, and they're like, "You fucking haven't gone to therapy yet?" I was like, no. And they were almost like bullying me and I go to therapy, you know. What's fucking wrong with you, dude? But you know, I don't have anybody that would point and laugh, right? But yeah, the stigma is still a fucking real thing, and I think that's something we need to beat. But it's I feel like sometimes society kind of gives us conflicting messages, right? Like as a dude.
Yeah.
Because we see the shit like, oh, men aren't men. You know, their men aren't like how they used to be. You know, these fucking pussies going to therapy and getting man buns. By the way, if you have a fucking man bun, you are a pussy. But, you know what I'm saying? Like, you get the conflicting messages, like, ah, dude, just go get help. It's not a big deal, man. And then you get to like, oh well, you know, men aren't men anymore, and you know, can't handle their own problems. And again, that's society, right? Like, obviously, like society's all fucking backwards, so we probably shouldn't listen to anything they say. Just fucking go do what you got to do, right?
Yeah.
I go get fuck if you need fucking help, go get help. Don't fucking be like me. But it is nice when departments take care of that. Did you feel like your the guys, I mean, did people in your department know? Do you feel like there was like a stigma, or is it nice where you can pretty much do it anonymously and you're fine?
So there's two caveats, I should say, to the experience I went through. My department has two separate resources for therapy, right? One is an anonymous one, which is the one I went to, right? And one is not anonymous and is tracked by the department, like names, ID numbers, the whole shebang. And the difference between the two, I feel like, isn't well advertised, or at least it wasn't well advertised. They're doing a lot better job of it now. So because I got to go to the anonymous one, and because of how much it helped me, I'm very much a proponent for it, and I'm very open and honest about doing it, you know? And I can't think of a single person that I work with or that I know that would, you know, give me shit for it. I mean, there might be like a joke here and there, you know, but it's not like seriously looking down on me for doing it, which again affords me the option to be as open as I am about going to it.
Well, you know, and it's, you know, as I was talking, I was like thinking about this. I'm like, it's not something you should even have to worry about, right? It's 2024. You shouldn't have to worry about what other people are going to say about you fucking going to a therapist, right? It shouldn't even have to be like something you even think about. And to be honest with you shouldn't. Like, and I think, especially being a cop, you got to know. You gotta have thick skin anyway. Who gives a shit? Somebody has a fucking thinks you're a pussy for going to therapy. Okay. They're gonna die at 50 because they're gonna have a fucking heart attack because they didn't know how to deal with their stress. You're gonna die, Cloud.
Gonna die.
You know, and I think that kind of goes back to like that whole thing of society, which I guess we're part of. Not me and you. Not me and the Virgin. We aren't part of that. We're separate. But society just like everybody's really good these days about giving other people advice, but not looking internally like what their fucking problems are. So what I'm saying is ignore everybody, do what you need to do.
Yeah.
Be a man.
Ignore everyone. Don't go to therapy. Die at 50. Be a man.
I love that guy. I love those fucking videos. Some of those are so
Fucking
fucking good. Buddy. Okay. So now we're at the part of the podcast where we're very close to the dumb dumb questions. Professional. But before we get to the dumb dumb questions, two things. If we didn't get to anything you want to talk about, it's time to rant if you got some rants. If not, that's okay. And if you had any questions of me, ask a meme lord in the dumb questions. What do you got?
Let's see. I don't think there's anything we didn't touch on.
Besides me.
only because you asked nicely.
Yes. Consent is key.
The let's see. We hit on starting the job young, we hit on burnout, we hit on some bike cop stuff. Mental. All right. Nothing else I want to hit on. Question for you. How was your meeting with Toby's mom earlier?
I don't kiss and tell. I don't kiss and tell. But it's okay. It's
No
okay.
further questions.
She knows how to take care of a man. Meet my needs. Felt like sandpaper.
Oh, Jesus. Oh.
I fucking love that movie so much, the 40-year-old version. So fucking good. There's like a good string of those, like I think they're all Judd Apatow movies, like 40-Year-Old Virgin, Knocked Up.
Yep.
I feel like there was another one in there. Fucking comedy classics. I feel like Superbad's kind of in that same realm. All right. So this question had its humble beginnings as a big fuck you to Saul, but it's evolved. So we can talk about fishing if you want to talk about fishing. But if not, what do you do to blow off steam? And what are your hobbies when you're off duty besides punching motorists?
fuck, that's the main one. For me, mainly it's gaming, going to the gym, and working on my car. Do you have any gaming consoles?
I have an N64 and a Sega that I think is filled with yogurt.
Gotcha, never mind then. I was about to go on a huge fucking advertisement for Helldivers 2, because that's what I've been playing.
God, it's such okay. I'm going to Google it so I can see what it is. I will say, I don't remember what this was in context to, but I had a guy send me a message today and he was making fun of something. He's like, that's almost as bad as grown men playing video games. Helldivers 2.
For
what is
context,
Helldivers about?
You've seen the movie Starship Troopers?
Yeah.
It's essentially that, but in video game form.
Okay, so you kill some fucking bugs.
Yes.
Can we talk about Starship Troopers in the fucking shower scene and how great that was?
The golden age of movies.
You know what movie has the best shower scene? Have you ever seen the movie Porky's?
Can't say I have.
Porky's is a fucking comedy classic. I will highly encourage anyone who hasn't seen that movie to fucking watch it. Like, that is fucking high comedy. That has a great shower scene, and the aftermath of the shower scene is fucking equally as funny. And if you know, you know. Helldivers 2. All right. So do you play Fortnite?
I do not. No.
Yours a little pause. I think you might.
I do not. I can't wrap my head around the fucking building.
Yeah, I don't. There's too much. Like, my kids, like, oh, dude, it's just like, it's like your James Bond game. And I was like, no, the building thing's fucking insane. Like, I've tried to like play with them, and I'm like, this is fucking stupid. Compare it, like, I can't. Every like once a year, I'm like, all right, I'll try and play Fortnite. I'm like, oh no, this is fucking stupid. If I had like an Xbox or gaming system, I'd probably do like some fucking nerdy Star Wars shit. Or I gotta be honest, man, I just like playing fucking Madden and shit.
Now is the time, because they're remaking the classic Battlefront games.
Oh, I've heard about that. Yeah.
Yep, it's going to be tomorrow.
I've got, what do I got? For my 64, I got Rogue Squadron, which is a fun fucking game. And then Shadow, was it called Shadows of the Empire? I don't know. There's some fun games. There's definitely some fun 64 games. I bought, not that anybody cares. So for Sega, when I was on my long trip over the Christmas time break, winter break, I guess would be the proper term. Came across this video game store, and they had a game I was looking for fucking ever, called Lethal Enforcers 2. Lethal Enforcers 1 is fun. Lethal Enforcers 2 is really fucking fun. I don't know where the fuck it went. I'm pretty sure it came back with me, but I haven't found it. And then I found my Sega covered in yogurt. So, I don't know. I got to find it, though, and play it. I hate being busy, man. I always talk about people making time for themselves. I feel like for a guy that works from home, I don't have any fucking free time. I may work on that. Between all the jerking off and the porn and the gambling
and the fishing.
Fishing. I don't have a lot of free time for video games, but maybe I'll work that in. Okay. Next question, good sir, is what is the best type of sauce?
I'm a slut for barbecue sauce. I fucking love barbecue sauce.
I could go either way on barbecue. I really could go either way. You know, like, I feel like there's a lot of places out there that advertise themselves having really good barbecue, and it's subpar. It's like, dude, Famous Dave's is better than this.
Yeah.
Famous Dave's is the shit, by the way.
Cough, Applebee's, cough, cough.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I've been like, all right, we were on the trip, we were in Kentucky somewhere, and I'm like, let's get some fucking barbecue in Kentucky. And this place made its, place that everything aesthetically, or like, this place is gonna be tits. It was okay. Although the waitress was fucking hot.
Yeah, there you go.
That's bad. I remember a waitress from my trip. She was hot. sorry, honey, if you're listening to this.
Miss poorly made.
It's poorly made. My kid likes barbecue. He's a big barbecue guy. I go either way on barbecue. Barbecue is it's up there on the sauce scale, but I'm not quite a slut for barbecue. We already asked if you, I think we, yeah, we pretty much asked if you would do it again. I know you're still a
Yes, I
virgin
will.
and you have a lot of life ahead of you, but what would you like to see yourself up to when you get to retirement age?
The end goal is a narcotics detective. If I could get there tomorrow, that would be it. That would be the next 25 years of my career.
Like
Anything
dope,
else above
huh?
that is a plus. Yeah, the side piece to my backstory is my dad also smoked a ton of drugs, so it's a bit of a soft spot for me, and I would love nothing more than to get to investigate all that kind of shit.
Think doing alcohol is cool.
You wouldn't download meth, would you?
What is the dumbest thing you did as a rookie?
Oh, fuck. Let's see. There's two that really stand out. One was like probably like my first week or two of face training. I arrested a homeless guy for being drunk. And because I hadn't encountered the homeless in my youth, when I grabbed onto him and started to search him, I was like,
Oh,
oh
big
God,
mistake.
this is ewy. This is disgusting. Little did I know, I'd have to do that over and over again for like the next 5 years. So I may or may not have not searched some undesirable areas. And in those undesirable areas, he had a knife, a handcuff key, and like, fuck, something, I think like a condom or some shit like that. So that was a pretty stupid feeling for me and a big lesson. Let's see. Second one was I pulled over this guy for having no plate. He's on probation. He has like some shoddy paperwork from, you know, those like shitty car sales place that it's like not exactly a dealership, but they'll give a loan to just about anyone.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah, he had bought a car from there, and obviously, like, their paperwork is shit. So, I did all the record checks, nothing came back. And turns out he didn't have a license. So I was like, oh, you know what this guy needs? Absolutely no enforcement action whatsoever. Call your dad to come pick you up, champ. His dad came, picked him up, and he left. After thinking on that one for a bit, I was like, yeah, I probably should have done something about that one.
I had a call in FTO, and hopefully I can do this justice because I can't quite remember all the details, but it was something like dumb, like an accident. It was an accident on the highway, or like the guy maybe like laid down a motorcycle or something. Like somebody called it in, or like this guy laid down the motorcycle. This might not be exactly what it was because this was a while ago, like 10 years ago now, so I don't have a great memory, but this will kind of get the idea of what kind of call it was. I think it was, I do want to say it was something like this guy laid down a motorcycle, we got a license plate and went looking for the dude. And eventually, like after like an hour of digging for maybe 2 hours, 3 hours digging for this guy, found the guy, found where he lived, and made sure he was okay. And like looked at the bike and it was like it looked fine. And I was like, okay, cool, you're fine. And I was an FTO, right? I was in my third phase. So I was like, all right, I think my FTO wants to see that I could like show a little discretion on something that's not important, right? Okay, he laid down his bike. He's fine. No big fucking deal, right?
Right.
My FTO, after we spent like 3-4 hours on this fucking call, which I know it started at an hour, but I think it actually, think it, more I think about it, it took a while to figure this all out. He's like, all right, so you're meaning to tell me we spent all this time digging this guy up to do nothing? Fuck.
Well, sir, when you put it like that.
Fuck. I stand by my decision to do nothing, though, to this day. But he had a point, you know? He had a point. All right. So from rookie mistake to life mistakes or embarrassing moments, what is the most embarrassing moment of your life?
Of my life.
Of your life.
Shit. I can't really think of one off the top of my head.
Right now.
Most of my embarrassing moments of... Can we tie this in with what I assume is the next question?
Sure.
I'm assuming the next question is, have I ever shat my pants?
It's not the next, but we can work it in now.
Perfect. Let's do that.
Okay,
I'm going to say one. Shitting my pants as like a 23-year-old. You know, you're supposed to be young. You're supposed to be spry. Nope. If you say you haven't shat your pants as an adult, you're a liar. Or it hasn't happened yet.
Are you British? Because you've said shat.
I am not. No. Is that not the past tense? Shat?
Shit. I don't know. I don't know what it is. Well, now you left us on a cliffhanger. You got to tell us the story of the time you shit your pants at age 23.
Essentially what happened was I was laying in bed with my then girlfriend at the time.
Is that why she left you?
No. I may or may not have trusted a fart more than I should. A little bit of it came out, but we were like watching TV or something and she was cuddling with me and falling asleep. So I was like, well, fuck, I can't move. So I had to like sit there and be like, oh God, I hope everything's okay. And then she woke up. I went to the bathroom and I was like, oh yeah, definitely shat my pants.
And to this day, he's still a virgin. I don't know why I've kind of keyed into the virgin thing, but it's a thing now. I don't know. Okay. That is pretty embarrassing to shit the bed, literally, with your girl. But you have a good on-duty dildo story.
Yeah, I do. I went to this call where what essentially happened was two gay dudes in a hotel room.
Yay!
Was there prostitution happening? Gay! Maybe not. No. So one of them calls in and says, hey, this other gay dude just threatened me with a gun. Please help. We show up. We get both of them in custody. And when we get both of them in custody, neither of them has a gun on him. So I start pressing like, hey, where the fuck is that gun to one of them? And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. So I asked him, okay, then you wouldn't mind if we searched the hotel room you guys were in, right? Because his name was on the registry. He was like, nah, go for it. We go in there. We start searching like under beds and stuff. And right on the kitchen counter, suction cupped, facing towards the ceiling, is this giant pink dildo. I go into the bathroom and clear it, and it's the last room. So I call out to my partners that are inside. Hey, you know, bathroom's clear. We're all good. I holster up. I turn to like start searching the cabinets. And when I open one of the cabinets, my partner comes up behind me, grabs my head, and tries to put my face in it. I'm so glad the counter was right there for me to grab on and push away from.
Oh my God, you could have got like a fucking, you could have got AIDS from that, man.
I could have.
Okay. What is, oh wait, we skipped one. You can't do that. You got a favorite dead guy call?
Yes. Yeah. So I did not realize that dead people in well-conditioned apartment complexes will sometimes smell like a hamster cage. So,
Really?
yeah, fun fact.
Okay.
I went to this check the welfare call. This guy's like, "Hey, my dad's elderly. He hasn't been seen in like X amount of days. He normally goes on like a daily walk. We talk. He just hasn't picked up the phone in a couple days." Okay, 50-50 chance this guy's dead, if not, a little bit less. So I go there, I start talking with the apartment complex to try to get a key. They're like, "Oh yeah, usually he like walks around every day. Like we see him, we just haven't seen him in the past couple of days. Is he okay? Is he okay?" And I said, "Well, I hope so." My sergeant shows up to cover me. We go up in the elevator, and as soon as the elevator door opens for this guy's floor, it's just an overwhelming smell of hamster cage. And I was like, "Oh, maybe someone just brought home a guinea pig or like a hamster or something." My sergeant doesn't say anything, doesn't look at me, just like kind of like mutters, "Uh-oh." "Oh, sorry, you got something to tell me?" And she was like, "Yeah, just get the keys from him and tell him to go back down. We'll be back down in a second." Pop the door open. This dude, I don't know if he had a medical emergency or what happened, but he fell off the side of his bed and he was like, you know that Family Guy pose when Peter dies or something and his like limbs are all,
I
that's what he was pose like.
had a guy like that once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what he was posed like. So I pop open the door. I'm like, "Well, he is not okay."
Oof.
Yeah.
I mean, you really shouldn't laugh at the dead, but that is fucking funny.
Yeah.
I mean, God, that's awesome. All right. Now, what is the proudest moment of your career?
It's honestly like the little things, there's the one specific moment I'm going to tell you about has happened like once or twice. And I think for most people, it should make the career worth it. So I showed up to a crash one night. Everyone was okay. No one was injured, but the cars were both fucked, right? One car had like a single dude in it. The other car had a family with like a little kid. So I talked to the single dude, got him in his car situated on their way, whatever, with tow trucks and everything. Then I went to go talk to the family. I talked to mom and dad, gave them the rundown, helped them figure out, a ride home, the tow, all that jazz. And I gave their kid a little like sticker badge. A couple months later, I'm driving around my area, stop at a gas station to get like snacks or whatever the fuck. And there's these two dudes outside, and they're like, "Hey, we're doing like a little Easter egg hunt or like a what's the word I'm looking for? Scavenger hunt for stuff for our church. And one of the things is like a picture in front of a police car. We get bonus points if there's a cop in the picture. Can one of you take a photo with us?" So me and my partner were like, "Oh yeah, sure, of course. Like, come on, take the picture, whatever." They get the picture, and then one of the guys there pulls me aside and he's like, "Hey, I don't know if you remember me." Turns out it was the dad from that crash. And he was essentially like, "Thank you so much for your help that night. Like, my daughter still has that sticker you gave. Like, we're so grateful for your guys' help, whatever." And I'm man enough to admit I almost cried after that. Like, it's those little touching moments with people and seeing the effect you have on something you like go to every day or something you deal with on a regular basis that really makes me proud to, do the job.
That's fucking cool, man. All right. Now, I don't want to take away from your story, but I have a question that's burning. Okay.
Ready.
The dad
Yes.
of the little girl, was he doing a scavenger hunt?
Yes, he
Like
was part of the
him.
scam.
So a grown man was doing a scavenger
Yes.
hunt.
That's almost as bad as a grown man playing video games. Sorry for ruining your story. Sorry for ruining your Black Panther party. Okay. I don't think that's quite the line in Forrest Gump, but it's a great line. Brought back by popular demand, we have the ghost and alien questions. So you have any ghost experiences or alien experiences, anything along those lines?
There was one time where me and my partner thought we ran into a ghost, but it turns out it was an actual person. Does that count?
Sure. Close Perfect. Enough.
So my partner and I are working Halloween. We're working two man. So the night ends up developing in such a way that me and my partner are the only car available for the night. There is a burglar alarm that goes off at one of those pop-up Halloween stores. And this Halloween store decided to pop up in an abandoned Macy's building. So I look at it. I'm like, oh, this should be an easy call to clear. Like, it's a giant commercial building. Like, and it's part of like a bigger shopping area. And the shopping area is pretty secure in terms of like people even trying to force entry and stuff, right? So in my mind, I'm like, who the fuck is breaking into a Halloween store on Halloween night, you know? My partner then looks at me and goes, buddy, I swear to God, if this place is haunted, I'm going to fucking kill you. So we go there. Turns out there's an open door. So I'm like, oh shit, this might be legit. We go inside. We start clearing it. And as we're clearing it, both me and my partner see a shadow run across the room. And like disappear behind a barrier. We both look at each other and we were like, fuck, did you see that too? We look back at it. My partner looks at me and goes, I swear to God, I'm gonna fucking kill you. This is a goddamn ghost. We go around the corner and again, same thing, shadow runs across the room. At this point, me and my partner are scared shitless. And we're just like chasing the shadow through until eventually it goes to like a dark stairway. And me and my partner are like, nope, we're fucking out of here. We're not dealing with this. This is going to be some fucking ghost murder. Turns out it was some transient that broke into the Macy's to like find shelter for the night. But me and my partner both wholeheartedly believed that store was haunted for like a good hour and a half.
Could have been a ghost transient.
It could have been.
Good sir, what is the best police car of all time?
You're gonna hate me for this, but I have two answers.
Don't say a fucking bike, by the way.
It's not, no. Obviously, the correct choice, most iconic vehicle of all time, is the Crown Vic. However, I've driven the Crown Vic like once or twice. Most of my experience comes from the Exploders. And I would dare to say I'm more comfortable in the Explorer than I am in the Crown Vic.
All right. So normally, We know we're building up to shitting the pants, which we know we got there. So before I ask for your imparting words of wisdom, how do you wipe your ass? Are you a sitter, a stander, or something fucking we've never heard of?
I would say I'm a sitter. The butt comes kind of off the toilet seat so I can, you know, reach.
Oh, yeah. But otherwise, yeah.
The knees are still bent. I'd say I'm a sitter.
Okay. All right. Okay, we got a normie. By the way, I got a bidet. I still haven't hooked it up. But I tell you what, I could have used it today.
You Just have saying. To, dude. Life-changing.
Well, buddy, we've come to the conclusion of this very poorly made podcast. The storms passed through, didn't knock out the power. We've made it all the way, including some... oh, my fuck, I can't talk. We're doing it live.
Don't hurt yourself.
Anyway, do you have any words of wisdom for the billions of followers out there?
Yes. Do your best not to shit your pants, and if you do, don't lie about it.
Wait, did you lie? Did you lie to her about it?
No. No, she found out very quickly.
Okay. Now I need to know, like, what was her reaction? Like, was she laughing at you? Was she disgusted?
I would say 95% split of laughing at me versus disgusting.
Got it.
It was all good-hearted fun.
On that note, kids, you know what to do. Shit your pants in front of your significant other and remain a virgin forever. And take care of the fine, fine sponsors of the podcast, because without them, I couldn't bring you this content that you obviously cannot live without. And check out all the fun stuff me and Ghost Patch are doing. We recently unveiled our Pops cards with the Rod. Hopefully this is going to be a new series. We got a lot of like fun shit with that. So hopefully if you guys are into that kind of thing, you check those out. We got all kinds of other fun stuff, so make sure you're checking it out. With that said, remember... Sorry, I got to pull up the thing. Are you fucking kidding me? Oh, there it is. Here we go.
Poorly made.
Poorly made.
Because I don't like gay people. I don't like them putting chemicals in the water that turn the friggin' frogs gay.
And I love most of you. Bye-bye.